Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 56, and this week's guest is Mr. Holga. Michael comes to talk to us about a few of his books, some of his pinhole builds, and his Dallas photo walk. All right. Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 56, and with me, as always, is the Sultan of Salt, Andrew Bartram. Hello, Andrew.
One day I'm just not going to be here, then you'll be sorry. I'm waiting for the large format photography podcast to just take off. Yeah, and I'll be ditching you. You'll see all your nastiness.
Oh, my nastiness.
So you sound like you're a bit under the weather. What's up with you?
No, just I got a little bit of a sinus issue going on. I'm on the backside of it, though, at least. So,
you sound like you were coughing up some greenies earlier when we were talking. Don't be doing that while we're on air.
At least I can keep my eyes open today. Yesterday, my sinus pressure was so bad that I couldn't even open my eyes. My teeth hurt. My jaws were hurting. My sinus pressure was so bad behind my eyes. So, a good night's sleep, a good cup of tea. And I'm ready, you know.
Do you take anything? What do you guys take in America to unblock?
I don't take anything. I just let it run its course. Yeah, I just.
Oh, I'm a sucker for drugs.
I'm not. I hate them. I don't take anything.
Yeah. Oh, no. I love squirting things up my nose to clear the head pressure.
But I've never had, you know, headaches or anything like that. Oh. You know, so I never really take any of that kind of stuff. I don't really take anything. Oh. I just take a shower. Oh no, sorry. The American solution to all colds is saltine crackers and ginger ale.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I probably take too many paracetamol and ibuprofen and aspirin type things.
Yeah.
My wife tells me off. Slightest little thought of a headache coming and, yep, take something. Yeah. So, there we go. So I'm if I say the code word evacuate, you and our guest will just have to carry on without me for a few minutes, okay? So I'm just feeling a little bit under the weather too, but in a slightly different area, shall we say.
Speaking of our guest, Andrew, do you know what this is? Do you know what I'm doing right now?
Trying to professionally introduce a guest?
No. I am. I'm opening a roll of film, and you know what I'm doing with it?
Poking up your nose? No. I have no idea.
I'm loaded into a Holga.
Oh, and why would you be doing that, I wonder?
Because our guest this week is none other than the mysterious Mr. Holga. Hello, Mr. Holga.
Howdy, Corey. Good day, Andrew.
How are you today?
Good day, Mr. H.
Mr. H. Everything's all right?
Quite well. I'm not sick at all, so I hope this isn't contagious.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
Andrew, yes, Andrew's always contagious.
No, I think as my body works down towards semi-retirement, then I'm just, you know, it's just gradually slowing down.
Yeah.
Falling apart piece by piece.
Piece by piece. He's working on a neck tattoo, though, for when he...
Well, do you know what? my daughter graduates from university in... Yeah, a couple of months. She's got two more exams. She's done her dissertation. She's at the University of Liverpool, and she's been studying philosophy and sociology. So she's always arguing with me about stuff, you know, because that's what that's what they do. I think she has to practice arguing. Anyway, so she's been on and on about getting a tattoo, and I'm not too keen, you know. Really, I know you say I'm going to get a neck tattoo, but I'm really not. So. She's finally announced on Messenger group today that she's getting a tattoo. And maybe I should have been a bit more enthusiastic. So the response I got was the emoji with the crying eye, you know, which she knows always makes me go, oh dear, maybe I've upset her. So I asked her, so I said back, is it a face tattoo? I said to her, so I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. So I'm not getting any. I'm not getting any tattoos. I'm going to make pinhole cameras in any spare time I have next year.
Yeah, awesome.
I'll be making pinhole cameras. So with your blocked sinuses, I guess you haven't been doing much photographically this week.
I have been. I mean, I have my reality little 6x6 camera that I carry with me, you know, so I'm always doing stuff here and there.
Do you take with you to work when you're when you're planing wood and stuff?
Sometimes I do. If I don't have it on my person, I normally have it in the car with me, you know, so I'll see something riding home, you know, or whatever. And so I'll stop and take pictures. But right now I just got a bunch of 4x5 infrared loaded. And then my 6x6, I've got infrared loaded in that because here in the South, it is infrared season begun. We got highs of 85 already during the day, and we've had no clouds in the sky for probably a week now. It seems like nothing but sunshine. And everything's green.
Pretty much here as well. We've had, we're in the 80s and we're very green.
Yeah,
which is really nice. However, they're about to turn the oven on, so you got to get out and take those pictures now, or else you're just not gonna feel like it.
Well, that's what I, you know. So everybody knows you as Mr. Holga, but we're gonna call you Michael because that's your first name. I think it'd be just a little easier.
I actually obfuscate my presence online because I actually go by my initials, MC.
Oh,
but
there you go.
I don't expect anybody to call me MC. But it is funny when people don't do it though.
Michael's fine.
Michael. That works for me.
That's why I wait and do my infrared when I do it. I wait until the middle of the day, you know. So that's kind of like the hottest part of the day, especially here. But yeah, the oven's coming for us here too. It won't be much longer, a couple more weeks, and then it's going to be like oppressively hot outside, you know. June.
I would love for the oven to come here.
I mean, it has its benefits. We don't have winter. I don't think it's snowed here in at least 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. We don't even have spring. Our spring is literally probably about a week or two. You know.
Well, I know us Brits moan about the weather, but you know what? Having seasons is just brilliant because each season presents you with different photographic opportunities.
Sure.
And then you just look for, when you're freezing cold in December, you just look forward to being able to put your shorts on, you know. And then when like last year here in the UK, we had really hot weather. It got into the consistently into the 30s degrees C's. I don't know what that is. Pushing 90, maybe?
5,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
5,000 Fahrenheit. Yeah. We had like 3 ovens on here.
Yeah.
And everyone just, a few days of that, and we're all kind of, oh man, you know, because we don't have aircon and, you know, none of us are used to it. So, but then we just look forward to winter but we've had no snow. We haven't had, this is the first winter in a good few years where we've had no snow. We get lots of high winds and stuff, but yeah. So see, I like seasons. I went to Australia once and you know what? You can keep your Australia, you Australians.
Why?
Because it's just hot all the time. They say it's not. They say it gets cold, but it doesn't get cold. They don't know what cold is.
Right.
We normally cap out in Dallas around 43 Celsius, which is 110 Fahrenheit.
Sure.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. I'm not coming to Dallas. I'm trying to. So my next America trip, as I've mentioned it to a few folks, is going to be the Pacific Northwest. So all my buddies up there who I'm going to be stalking them for somewhere to live. That'll be somewhere to stay. That'll be my trip, my next America trip. Either that or my new friend Dom is going to invite me to go and stay in Japan with him.
Yeah.
All these people are just going to move house because they know I'm going to be stalking
them. Yeah, that's right. They're going to split. They're going to be like, I'm getting out of here.
Japan is quite lovely. I wish I had, when I went, I wish I'd gone there with the pinhole camera, but this is like, you know, over 20 years ago, and I wasn't even on that photographic journey yet. But
right.
It is very lovely. Lots of opportunities there.
I want to go to Japan. That's what we were talking to Don about. Yeah, last week was.
Yeah. He's messaged me today. He's coming to the UK, or he's hoping to come to the UK.
There you go.
He's asking where your house is.
No, I've invited him to come and stay.
Cool.
But I think his parents live down in the southwest, maybe Devon, Cornwall way.
Yeah.
So, which is where I'm going to be next month when I can't do the show.
I know where Devon is. Oh, that's such a great place.
Hmm?
I really don't.
You don't really do.
So how is that passport coming along, Corey?
Great. And it's being processed any day now.
Yeah, I've got an ally.
Well,
you're a typical American, Mr. Cannon. You haven't got a passport.
I'm much like you. Everywhere I go, it's because somebody sent me there to work, and you don't really get to see very much.
Oh, yeah. So you travel, but you're just looking out of a hotel room or in an office?
Pretty much, yeah. I get to see the airport, the warehouse, the airport, and back home. So
I'm up at 4 a.m. tomorrow to go to Hamburg in Germany, just in case you didn't know where Hamburg was. And I shall be collected at the airport by some German colleagues, taken to some little place which they call sort of a depot or an office or something, and I'm doing 3 days of training their technical guys, their chemists and their sales guys. And then I shall be going to the Holiday Inn. They're probably going to want to take me out in the evenings, but I shall resist manfully. They want to try and take me to the Reaper's Barn, but the Reaper's Barn is a red light area in Hamburg, and I try and resist it, of course, because it's very unwholesome.
Oh.
But yeah, I go to these places, and I see... I was in Cyprus last year. You remember, because we recorded a podcast, and all I saw of Cyprus was the inside of the Cypriot Electricity Authority's offices and the hotel, really.
Mm.
Which is where I'm doing a lot of my pinhole pictures now, just of, you know, pictures of me naked in the hotel room. Just for my friends, of course.
We're going to stop that conversation. And on that note, we're going to ask Michael about his pinhole journey.
Yeah, because apparently you're really excited about being with us. And I got the distinct impression that I could just shut up and listen to you talk for an hour.
Well, you certainly can. I'm just letting you guys get your banter in there. I enjoy it. You know, I'm keeping up with the soap opera that is Andrew and Corey, or Corey and Andrew, whichever you want to go.
Either way.
I know where Hamburg is. That's the birthplace of the Beatles. Come on now. You know, journey-wise, I'll keep it short and sweet. I actually did a lot of painting and drawing in my youth, and this is about the 2000s, and I'm like, you know what? I could paint and draw a lot better if I had better pictures, and better in my mind was bigger film, which led me to a Rollycord V, and not shortly after it led me to a Holga, because the Rollycord V was great, but it was more technical than I liked, and the Holga was just point and shoot. It's like, oh, it was awesome,
right?
And I just started, you know, just taking more and more from there. And then, you know, this is just regular film. Then, of course, you know, I do end up they start making more Holgas, different styles, not just the normal 120 FN, but you know, they throw out the pinhole wide and the pinhole 6x6. And of course I snap both of those up and, you know, little here and little there, but actually I would say I probably have done the most of my pinhole work here recently, probably because of you guys' show.
Wow. Thanks.
You know, my buddy, Mark, he called and said, "Hey, I'm going to be on a podcast." And I said, and I was thinking to myself, how many times are you going to say reciprocity? And I need to get the tequila ready, and and so I listened to it, liked you guys, so I'm still hanging around. You guys talk about shooting without tripods, I give it a try. You talk about making some cameras, I'm like, well, I can make some cameras, I give that a try. So
we talk about these things, but we don't do any of it.
Well, you know, it always takes somebody to have a bad idea, somebody else to carry it through, and I've been pretty much doing those things. Like, yeah, I can handle this.
I picked up an awesome tin when I was in my head office last week. It was another coffee tin, but it's a really odd shape and it's got great potential. So I've got that. I've got about six other tins. I now have a selection of very fine needles. I've got some 5 thou brass shim because, hey, why would I want to use drink soda cans or whatever you guys call them? So I'm amassing all the stuff, just like I'm staring at a load of chemicals here for developing caffeinol, you know, so, well, chemicals, coffee and stuff, you know, vitamin C. So I like to amass all these things and slowly get around to doing them.
Yeah.
But so you're amassing for the end of photography world, right? You're going to be the last person who can develop film because you've got it all in stock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I say smugly to my digital friends, look, you know, when we get all the solar flares and you lose all your pictures in the cloud, or electromagnetic warfare breaks out or whatever's going to happen, I can still take my film even if I have to make it myself. I don't know how you make film, but let's assume I can still get film. At least I can still develop it somehow. Well, yeah, I could use albumin, couldn't I?
Well, speaking of making
salt printing.
Salt printing is excellent. You should really do some salt printing.
Yes.
Maybe. Yeah. So I'll get around to that one day.
So, Michael, you do, apart from doing pinhole and everything else in the Holgers, I've noticed that you've been doing, what is it, collodion tintype? Is it tintypes?
I took a class last year doing some the wet plate collodion or collodion, whatever however you pronounce it. It was a great class. It was the non-deadly chemical one. It's the non-cyanide version of it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Works really, I really wanted to take a class because I read a book on it, and it was, the book was every other page is a warning of death. I'm like, I don't want to do that. So I took the class, and, there's no warning of death there. I mean, yeah. This one will stain, one chemical will stain your skin. Another one can give you cancer, but, gloves can handle that one. But if this one gets in your open wound, you will die instantly. It's like, oh, no.
Yikes.
But it was a great time. We had a great time, great, good class. And I tried to do it at home. And then I got some stain on the actual counter in the kitchen. And I'm like realizing, I am not going to do this until I get a sink in the garage.
Yeah. Did you get did the stain in the kitchen get discovered, or were you able to conceal it?
No, it's like right by the sink, so it's a couple of little purple drops that my darling Mrs. Holga has seen. So, fortunately, we are about to be getting new counters, anyways. But that definitely means all nasty chemicals stay in the garage.
Yeah,
you should check those. What are they, like the medical stores? Because sometimes they'll have those big giant stainless steel embalming tables. You know what I'm talking about? I know a guy who has one of those.
Seriously, Do you have one of those in your garage?
Into his, sink,
I don't know. I don't know that I've got room on my garage for that and a Volkswagen. So
I've just got images of Dexter now in my mind. You watch Dexter?
I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. I know what these people in North Carolina are like.
Yeah.
Do you have large rolls of plastic sheeting in your garage as well, Curry?
I do. Mm-hmm. And feet of duct tape.
if you come over to visit, just make sure you're not standing on plastic.
Now, okay. Randy from Holga Mods, I'll put link in the show notes. Does he not make, or has he not made in the past, backs for Holga so you can shoot some kind of wet plate type thing?
Little glass plates.
I believe he has.
Someone else. I don't know.
I've got the old pack film back for the Holga that I was going to convert to hold either the glass or the tin and do it that way.
Yeah.
And it's not a lot. And I think you can 3D print what little you need.
Have you tried doing pinhole with the collodions?
No, not yet, because like I said, I kind of put a kibosh on it until I can get a sink in the garage. So
sure,
I mean, it's a really beautiful process, and it takes a matter, you really should, once you learn to do it, you should take some time to get a good feel for it. So I mean, I'm not going to go on the road with it yet until I can at least produce regular pictures with it.
Well, if you go on the road with it, don't you have to have a horse-drawn carriage, mm-hmm. wagon.
Or you have to have those. You have to have those sleeves, and you have to have a long handle mustache. Yeah,
But seriously, if you go on the road, you do need to have some kind of mobile darkroom, because you put those effectively the emulsion on the plate, and you have to shoot it while it's still wet or tacky, don't you?
Yes, and that is dependent upon how quickly the ether and the chemical dries.
Oh, that's another one. Do you sniff that?
it has a very distinct smell to it, but I try not to.
So hang on, ether doesn't that? I think that might knock you out with enough of it. And so Corey has that, presumably.
Yeah,
you have some ether, and you have the plastic sheeting, gaffer's tape, an embalming table.
Come on over. Come
Do you know what? No wonder you can't find anybody to come pinholing with you.
A couple of bone saws, and you'd be set.
Yeah, well, I have big saws, not bone saws, but they'll work either way.
Exactly. Power tools.
That's right.
I haven't heard much of your family recently. They normally hear them in the background.
They're sitting in there. They're just stuffed.
Oh, man.
They don't say much.
My name is Norman Bates. I'm just a normal guy.
So when you first got the Holga pinhole cameras, Michael, what did you think about pinhole photography then? Were you kind of like, I don't know, and just put it to the back, or did you just kind of take
off? Well, one of the inherent flaws with the Holga is, you know, I went from a Rollycord TLR to a Holga, and I just like it because it's, hey, it's point and shoot, and, you know, you're within a certain tolerance of the film, and all you really have to do is judge your distance, which is really easy. But of course, one thing you don't really have is the control of your exposure, because Holga is like, what, 1/100th of a second or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So you really can't change that. But with a pinhole, you certainly can. It's like, well, I can set the time there. I just, you know, everything's just going to be super slow. And it was really nice. And so I think I got a brand new Holga at the time. I think it was the 6x6. I was at Galveston, Texas. And I went to shoot probably their most famous graveyard. And, you know, they got a lot, nice little, it kind of looks like reminiscent of a New Orleans graveyard, but not as much stuff. And I got back one of the films. And of course, if you were to look at, I don't know if you guys have brought up my my album on Instagram, there's a picture of Jesus on there, and there's a black line that essentially goes through the middle of it. When I was like looking at the negative, I'm like, well, what the heck is that black line? And then of course, when I scan the film and it's reversed, I see that I actually have the strap right going right through the middle of the camera. And that's the beauty of the beauty of pinhole, is that everything's in focus.
I've just picked you up on that on one of your earlier posts. Actually, strictly speaking, nothing is in focus. But anyway, there we go.
Well, that is true. Nothing is in focus, but it's all the same nothing focus, which is
yes,
great.
Yeah. The circles of confusion are small enough to make it appear to be all in focus.
So, you know, even that one was a nice shot, just because it was...
I'm looking for it now. I don't know how far I have to go back.
Well, like I said, if you go to my album that's for pinhole only, which is towards the bottom of my album list, then you'll see all my pinhole shots.
Oh, Flickr. Sorry, Flickr.
Flickr. You remember Flickr? Corey's got Flickr, right?
I know. No, I'm Flickr. A great Flickr fan. I thought I had Instagram in my head.
No.
I did too.
Well, yeah, I've got a love-hate with Instagram, so...
Yeah, I'm getting to that point with it too.
I love to hate them.
Flickr, I was talking to someone online about Flickr, and they said, oh, you know what, I'm not going to pay the money. I'm just going to use Instagram. And I said, well, it's not the same thing. You know, it's really not the same thing. You can't get the thing. You can't get such high-resolution images on there. It's easy to upload different shapes and sizes. You can get a lot more detail. You can organize stuff into albums. And, yeah, I mean, if you're going to have any kind of online backup, I think Flickr is a great place.
I do love Flickr, but I decided not to pay them. Instead, I decided to curate what I actually had out there. So if I'm going to be limited to 1,500 image or 1,000, whatever
it is. That's a lot of pictures.
1,000. So I decided, it's like, well, let's make these the better 1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, there he is. There's Jesus.
And he's got a camera strap right across the front of him.
Yes. Yeah, this is when we're talking to guests on the show, it's really, if they've got a Flickr account, then at least you can immediately go to it and see things in nice big versions, and you can find out a little bit about the image as well, which I really like.
Yeah. So I know you and Mark have been on a camera building projects here recently, because I know you got, there's quite a few on your Instagram page. There's a stack of them with a box of Harman direct positive paper. You guys are making them out of foam core board?
Pretty much. It's just foam core board and black tape. I don't think it's gaffer's tape, which I think gaffer tape is more like duct tape. This is actually like a black masking tape.
Yeah.
It's called duct tape, I believe is the brand. Shout out to them, I guess, because I prefer it over what, you know, Mark came over and he wanted me to show him how I built my first camera. And so I kind of walked him through it, but he was using a tape, which, you know, it was too thick and gooey. And so I preferred the thinner masking tape version of it.
I have some of that. It's like, I mean, it's light safe, but it's like, it doesn't leave any sticky.
Right.
Either when you take it apart.
And when you press it down on the foam core, it's really nice and thin. It's very, very, very small, which is nice. Now I do use a little bit of glue so I can, for the, especially for the shutter area, because I like to have a shutter slide in there. So I'm kind of sandwiching a couple layers together.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the first one I built was that 6x6, which used film. All the shots came out. It was great.
Is it the one with the where you got your mate of yours to make some knurled knobs or print some knurled knobs or something?
Right, right. The mate of mine happens to be my brother. He did 3D print those for me. And as a matter of fact, I had to update the design because I needed to, you know, make some minute changes to it. And he printed me a bunch more. So I need to make some more cameras.
They look like the reality so subtle 6x6 knobs, don't they?
Well, no, the outside knobs are guitar knobs.
Oh, are they? Maybe that's what I'm looking at.
That's what's on my 6x6 is guitar knobs.
Yeah, that's what these look like.
But the inside is that. But the inside that actually connects to the film, that's the 3D piece.
Okay.
So it's like a little male part that's going to go into the top of the film, plus like a built-in washer, and then a post that goes up to through the camera, which allows the knob to actually screw down to.
And that's a 6x6, so you're just shooting regular rolls of 120 in it, right?
Yeah,
just a basic. Wow, that's cool. Yeah, awesome. And you guys are. What was the big? I think Mark was telling me he was making an 8x10. No, maybe I can't remember. He sent me a message and he was talking about it.
I actually built most of the cameras. Mark built one or two himself, but I built all the rest of them. I got a little crazy one night. I created that one that was A4B2, which essentially was a imagine there's a 3 inches worth of camera, but I put a divider in the back of it. So it's like you have one piece of paper on one side, another piece of paper on the other side. And then, of course, then the two fronts come together. And then, of course, I've got, you know, I divided one side into four and the other side into two, and they each have their own little slide.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. That's crazy.
And so, and we did a photo walk with those recently, and everybody's like, well, how do you know which one you shot? It's like, well, I just turned the slide over because I have the numbers on all the slides. And then when I'm done, I just turn them over. So,
wow. That's cool. Yeah, so that's a pretty wide looking, like it's a pretty wide camera.
Because it's only about like an inch and a half from the pinhole to the paper, it really wasn't that wide for each shot.
Huh. So let me just, I'm looking at this picture on Instagram. Oh, I've made it a bit bigger. That's easier. So you've got the main body of the camera, but that's just there to effectively act as a spacer between the two sides. Right. So you've got effectively a lid with four little shutters in, shall I call it that? Numbered 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Right.
Yeah.
And as you open those up, there's a pinhole presumably there.
Right. Each one of them.
And then the film sits. I can't see the mechanism for the film, but it just sort of sits there, does it, or is it held in place about an inch and a half deep? And
all of these cameras are built off of that. The Ilford came out with the Harman camera, where essentially just the box itself holds the film to the back.
Yep.
So these are the exact same thing.
So the box there on the top right-hand corner, you can see from the lip going around the top of the box down to where you can see the tape. That's effectively the distance between the shutter is and the film sits in there. And then you put the lid in and it holds the film flat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you've got four. So the back of that one with four, is that, does that have, if you flip it out, see, I want to see the backside now of it. So is there like a cross goes all the way down?
There are four small
like passport pictures, or you almost end up with four.
Right. So there's no bleed over to the next picture because I actually
That's what I was getting at, but my inability to communicate my thoughts were getting in the way.
It's all right. We're getting used to it, Andrew.
I did create a three pinhole one without any dividers on another picture there. Essentially, they will bleed over to each other, but it's a one shot though.
So, what sort of when you've got a thing like this with these four mini pictures in, is that forcing you to think more creatively about the way you're using it? What novel ways have occurred to you to use this beast? Because I'm intrigued about the possibilities.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that until recently because we just did the pinhole photo walk, And I took pictures of downtown McKinney. And, you know, when you're going to have four pictures that are permanently together on one little picture, it...
you got to think about it.
I mean, I did one of them was a selfie. One of them was a building. One of them, you know, they're just various different close-ups. I mean, you could... you know, you could create some interesting things that, that go together or don't go together, or, you know, it, it just, it's yeah, just, could be a nice juxtaposition of different images.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Or you could just open them all up together and have a picture with a cross in the middle.
Yes.
A plus sign in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, for that matter, you could, you know, trim the paper and there just happened to be, you know, what, 1.5 by 2 inch pictures. So.
Yeah. Cool. Is this picture from on top of your Jeep from that photo wall?
It's not my Jeep. That was just I just borrowed somebody's Jeep for the tripod per the
Jeep.
Per the Lensless podcast. You said anything could be a tripod, so
sure, absolutely.
So I threw my big boy up there, the 8x10, and I think it was I'm not sure how long the exposure was. It wasn't very long.
I was going to say it didn't look like it was probably very long,
but nobody came out and complained. So
there you go. No alarms went off?
No alarms went off. I just threw it up there, opened the slide, counted it down.
And I like to see that. I'm pleased also that you have some nice into the sun pictures where you're capturing the solidity of the light. I particularly like the one of the elephant. And you got the elephant to stand really still while you shot it.
That elephant's a statue.
But I know. You've got...
Same with this tiger.
Trained elephant.
You've got all that awesome. The way I'm more and more captivated by images with where the light becomes solid because of just the way the pinhole works.
Yeah.
And Pan F, seem to be a great fan of Pan F. I haven't shot Pan F in a while. I've just bought 4 more rolls, and I'd forgotten how much I loved it, particularly in my 0.6
I like Pan F too.
Zero image. Yeah.
I think I'm enjoying the Pan F more because, you know, obviously it's very bright here in Texas. And the thing that really intrigues me about pinhole photography is that I'm not taking a picture at 1/30th of a second. I'm actually capturing time. And a lot of things can happen in a picture during that time. And I really love people moving in a picture.
Yeah,
me too.
And so you can't do that in the summer around here with, you know, anything faster. Because you're just not going to get any people, any ghosts at all.
Right. They're just moving too fast, huh?
Absolutely. Just... I mean, I just did this whole roll of pictures from the Dallas Zoo. And, of course, I've got one where this lady is essentially feeding her baby out of the baby carriage. She's, like, on a bench in the middle of this bridge, and she's the only one there because everybody else is walking across the bridge. So, you know, it just makes her seem like she's just the one sole person who came to the zoo that day.
Right.
I think more people should shoot Pan F. I'm a massive Ilford fan, and it's been a long time since I've put some Pan F in my pinhole camera. What are you developing? What are you using for developer, Michael?
Well, Mr. Snaps has got me onto, is it DDX or whatever it is?
Yep.
Oh, I'm probably saying Ilford. Mm-hmm. Well, I was using Ilfusol 3, but in a bunch of Delta 400, but it was all turning out way, way, way too grainy. So then I went with the DDX, and I'm getting better results there.
Yeah, DDX works well with all the Ilford films. I don't use it regularly, mainly because I like to use it one shot, and it starts getting expensive because it's not a cheap developer, but then nothing's cheap, is it really? But you can mix it up as a liter or whatever size a liter is and just reuse it as a, maybe adding more time. Is that the way you're doing it, or are you using it as a one shot DDX?
I think I use it as a one shot. I might develop if I develop 2 or 3 batches that day, I probably will use the same for all of them, but then I don't keep it.
You can make a liter up of it and then develop, say, 10 films. Once you get, after every one, maybe I think the Ilford instructions say you add a certain amount of time. Like you can with ID11 or D76, you know, you can make a stock solution and then just keep using that stock solution if you want to, or you can use it one shot.
Right, but that's how I used to do it with the D76, is just, you know, make it and use it till it was gone. And
yeah. See, I use D76 or ID11. That's my mainstay, the one that most things go in, but I tend to use it 1+1 and one shot, because it just acts helped me control the highlights a little bit more.
I like using Xtol. That's my...
Yeah, they're all good. To be honest, I think most developers, if you like the look of it, you're not going to get a bad result. You're very unlikely.
Sure.
You know, I've got my Cafenol ingredient sitting here, so that's my next step. Play around with Cafenol. But I'm going to use that mainly for direct positive paper, because I've seen some awesome results with direct positive and Cafenol recently in the Facebook, in the Lensless Podcast Facebook group.
So, Michael, what do you do with your direct positive? Do you have any special?
No, nothing in particular. I think I used Ilford Multigrade Developer for developing it. So,
yeah, me too.
But can't you? I read somewhere where that's somebody was saving their and letting it be used, before they were developing with their. A direct positive paper because it was supposed to help.
What it would be doing is it would be making it less active as it oxidizes. Yeah, so it's the same. You could also take your multigrade developer and instead of diluting it 1+9,
you could do 1 to 14 or something.
Yeah, so that's the same as using almost. You're getting into that sort of area of compensating. Developers where your areas are very heavily exposed negative or paper who've received a lot of light, the development will stop in those areas quite quickly, but it'll carry on building up in the shadow areas. And if you've got that weak developer, that helps. That you need to give it occasional agitation so you don't end up with weird effects, but that's that's the way stand development works. And
how do you handle all that bright light where you at, Michael, with a direct positive? Because that's where I'm at here, and I am going to have to just like wait for cloudy days or just go right out right after sunrise
Yeah, you have to shoot with morning, evening, shaded areas, all that kind of good stuff. I mean, I really hate shooting in the middle of the day because it's just going to be too hot. Yeah, but this has been one of the strangest springs we've had here in a while. As a matter of fact, it was almost freezing cold again just about a couple of weeks ago, and it's May, and it's like, I don't know what the heck's going on. Must be all that global cooling. But
you folks in Dallas, that's Texas, right?
And yes.
Mississippi,
Dallas.
Do you just like have cups of oil for breakfast and stuff, because you just when you open your taps, does it oil come out, because you don't want to be accepting global warming, because people will stop buying your oil.
Well, I do appreciate every time the news comes on and tells me how much a gallon of gas is in California, and I'm like, oh, we're not even paying half that.
Yeah, easily.
I mean, I think
I'm just wondering.
They keep the prices low in our gas so that we'll come into the 7-Eleven buy coffee.
Yeah, sure. And a big gulp.
Exactly, and a big gulp.
You've used a bit of T-Max as well. I like the picture of your presumably young Ms. Holger. Ondu pinhole camera Kodak T-Max. I don't know whether that was T-Max 100 or 400, I suspect. Well, I don't know. Was that 400 or...
Which 100? Picture is it? I mean...
Your daughter, I guess, in a restaurant with all the sharp menu at the front, and then she's kind of a bit blurry.
Oh, yeah. It was probably a 100. Oh, no, actually, it was probably a 400 because I knew I was going to have a
T-Max 400.
I knew the restaurant was going to be really dark.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've just bought myself some T-Max 400, again, because I saw some awesome results, and I've never shot it. Never, ever shot it. I couldn't believe I'd never shot it, so I'm going to be developing that probably in Pyro Developer.
Yeah.
Cool. But that's great. So that was with Michael, like that. Came out really well.
You have a book that you did that was Death by Holger. Are you planning on doing a book for Death by Pinhole, or do you have anything planned?
Well, when you do a book, you learn a lot. And the first one is you have to have a title that will actually entice people to actually look your direction. And being as how nobody knows what a Holger is, not very many people went and looked for that book. So...
Is it still available? What is it?
Was it a
blurby type book,
Well, no, it wasn't a blur. Actually, I produced it myself, and I published it, and I actually put some copies on Amazon. However, I went and checked it out here recently, and somebody has messed up the picture for it. It's like, I don't know where that went, so now I have to go fix it. Essentially, the project was, and believe it or not, Mrs. Holga said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, until she realized how much time it was going to take. But I was sitting at home one day. This is the short story. This one, I sitting at home one day, and I was watching a JFK documentary, because we have those a lot around here. And of course, this one was a little bit different. This one was about Lee Harvey Oswald, and it's like, okay, well, it's, you know, I know a lot about Kennedy. I don't know much about Oswald, and it gets all the way through the entire process, you know. And then of course, you see this famous picture of President Johnson taking the oath of office on Air Force One, and the thought had occurred to me. It's like, gosh, I wonder if that judge is still alive. And of course, you know, the judge's work, because she, you know, she's from Texas, she's got to be in this area. And I went and checked that she had passed away. And it's like, but she was buried just, you know, just a few miles down the road. I'm thinking, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. And then it dawned on me. It's like, well, how many other people who are involved have died too, and they're still in Dallas? And, you know, Oswald is buried in Fort Worth. The judge, the sheriff, the mayor, you know, there are still people who are alive. I actually photographed the detective who was handcuffed, Lee Harvey Oswald, and I did it with a Holga. So that was my whole thing, because I was going to do all these photos with the Holga, because I love a Holga. And I think I did a couple of them with Pinhole as well. I'd have to go double check on those ones, but it was quite an interesting book and quite a learning process. Yeah.
So I Googled Amazon.co.uk, so maybe it won't find it. I Googled Death by Holga, and I got two brand new Holgas popped up, and then a book at the bottom which says Death at a Funeral. I've no idea what that is. That's a video. And that made me think, probably I need to look on Amazon.com. But also, maybe you would be able to answer me this, Michael. The Holga factory, or whatever it was announced a year or two ago, probably, that they're all going to stop being made Holgas.
Yeah.
And then I heard that actually they're not, someone else is making them, or the same people are still making them. What is the story? Because clearly you can still buy these things, and even the Holga wide pinhole camera seems to be available again, but who's making them, and did the original Holga factory stop making them, and do you know?
Yeah, when I originally heard that one, it was kind of sad, and I think it was like around November, is it 2016? It might have been around then, but
was it that longer? Could be.
Could be. And you heard that they not only had they closed down production at that time, but they actually destroyed the molds, because apparently what they did. And it's like, well, that's really sad, because hell, I would have bought the molds, you know. I mean, take out a loan and get those, because they were, you know, as far as I was concerned, they were valuable. But no, they said they were destroyed and gone. And so, you know, the world ran out of Holgas. And then not shortly after that, they said, you know what? Nope, they didn't really destroy the molds. We have at least the last one for the regular FN model, or at least the N model.
Mm.
And so they restarted producing them again. And I think they're being produced by like Freestyle Photography or maybe their company that's running them.
Yeah. Well, so in the States, you mean?
You know, they're still being made in China or Taiwan or wherever, but essentially they're bought by somebody else.
Right.
Now, as far as the pinhole wides that have recently shown up on Amazon, which, you know, I bought one as myself.
Mm.
I think those are new old stock, that somebody just found a case of them recently. It's like, oh, well, looky here. And they threw them up online.
It's an original case. So back behind the other stuff, around the corner behind the other stuff, they're like, oh, there's those 50 that we lost.
Yeah, exactly. Let's sell those. We can make money. Hmm. They're worth more now.
Yeah. $300 we can get for these.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen some outrageous prices for them. And then somebody floods the market and the prices come down. It's like, yes, I love capitalism.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Cool. So then no pinhole book, huh?
Well, not yet. I was I've been highly considering doing some zines or zines, however you pronounce it, because, you know, I would like to put together just, you know, some short, small photo books. I'm getting into a lot of printing. I recently got myself a Canon, is it Prixma or Pixma or whatever?
Pixma, yeah.
A Pro 10, and I've been... It's a lot to learn to print from your scans to a printer. I mean, you've got to get things adjusted just right to get the picture you like. It's, it's not as simple as it seems. And so once I've got that down, I hope to do some, you know, I can do some pre-press at home, and then I can ship the files out to somebody who can do, who can print out mass pages for me, and then I can put them together as some zines.
Yeah, just staple them together. I'm thinking about, I think that's going to be my next step for printing, because I've tried to do the dark room.
No, stop it. Stop it. Both of you. Go and buy, you can just go and buy an enlarger. Or do what Joe...
I have an enlarger. That's not the problem. The problem is having somewhere where I can set it up.
Well,
and I can
you just need to work...
Leave it set up.
You just
up
need to work at it. Don't go down the digital route. Get your dark rooms going. What? Get your dark rooms going. Do what Joe Baker did. I don't know if you've been following Joe, Evil Chutney, on various places. He's just built an enlarger. I think he was inspired by Intrepid's little enlarger, and he's, I don't know what he's made out of. I haven't spoken to him about it, but he's just showing some prints he made with it. He's got some, a little domestic light switch on it, and he turns the timing, the, turns it on and off with his little light switch, and it's yeah, mounted to his tripod, and he's doing it, it looks like he's doing it in his bedroom. So
I have an enlarger. That's not the problem. The problem is just
motivation and dedication to your art.
It's not motivation and dedication. Well, when it gets to the point to where I can't have a space to do it unless I start paying to rent a space somewhere.
No, well, now that you've got your kids' stuff, just use their bedrooms.
Every kid you send out of the house, you get a free dark room.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Not when you have three, because as soon as one leaves, the other one slides into the other.
I am on my last one right now. She's about to graduate high school and be out of the
house.
She'll
be back. She'll be back. No, don't believe it. She'll be back.
I successfully got rid of the first two.
Well, I've got one who's here 3 days a week, and he keeps saying he's leaving. And the young one's been gone a year, well, 3 years at university, but... now she's graduated, she's suddenly got to be confronted with the real world, so I expect she'll be back soon.
Well, Andrew, because I hate Instagram so much, or at least I'm hating it more and more each day, I'm actually taking inspiration from David Yarrow. I guess he's one of the blokes near you. He's the black and white animal photographer, David Yarrow.
Right. Okay. Go on.
Anyways, his whole thing is I was watching a little YouTube with him the other day. He doesn't look to compete with any other photography other than fine art photography, which I like that idea, because, you know, I don't think my images from pinholes are for a mass audience. I think they're for selective people who appreciate what the effort that has gone through to make that image.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I hate that word fine art. I don't know what it is about it. I just kind of, but you're right. I mean, about pinhole stuff, either you like it or you don't, you know?
So I found your Death by Holger, which is really weird, because it's got it seems to have some kind of, the picture associated with it is something.
I know.
It's got a USB slot on it, and something, and then it says something like 1080p full HD motion detection.
I know.
Whatever,
that's hilarious.
Whatever that is, it's not Death by Holger photographs of the people, places, and things associated with the Kennedy assassination taken with the Holger camera.
I am but not anyway, USB anything.
But you've got 3 5-star reviews. So,
well, I've got family.
Yes, exactly.
I was just about to say.
It does say currently unavailable. It doesn't currently unavailable. So, you know, it's even if you wanted it, you can't have it because it's currently unavailable.
Oh, I've got a few copies left. So I'm gonna take some time here. I'm hoping before the next anniversary rolls around and get that in digital format. So I could sell those cheap for $5 online or something like that through Amazon.
That's a great project. Have you gone through your list of people, places, and things associated with it, or are you still doing it even though your book was published? Is it a sort of ongoing bubbling under project?
Essentially the project is done. I don't know. I'm not really looking to update it. The unfortunate part with the publishing myself is that all the pictures in the book are black and white. And I specifically took, you know, some color images, which look absolutely beautiful. And so when I do the digital version, I'm going to make sure that those are in color and that they turn out as lovely as I wanted.
I think a book that's got, you know, page black and white, black and white, black and white, and suddenly you're hit with this stunning, you know, whole color picture, and that and it just jars you, you know. I think that would be very dramatic and visually exciting to have black and white. Suddenly you're confronted with a color one.
If I used a blurb, or is that, that's the book process, right? That's
yeah.
the book.
If
I used them to do this book, my book would have cost, with the way I wanted it, probably would have cost $150 just for me to have it created.
Shoot. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, going black and white and smaller and finding someone who locally who can print and bind for you, it just ended up being a cheaper option.
Yeah, it has to be quite right. It has to be quite a vanity project to be spending that sort of money, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't have that much vanity. I wanted to get the project done, which I did get it done in time for the 50th anniversary of JFK. Mm-hmm. But, I other than the 60th anniversary, which I'm sure is coming up here pretty soon, I can't imagine doing anything more with it. But I was very grateful for the Sixth Floor Museum, which is actually, you know, in Dealey Plaza where Kennedy was shot. They were very, very kind and considerate, because anytime they had guest speakers during this time that I was doing my book, I was getting invited. I got to meet some of these people. I got to photograph them. I mean, there are some photographs that I didn't include in the book, which, you know, I could add into the digital copy, but, you know, because they just didn't make it in time. But, you know, there's still a lot of live, breathing people who either witness or were part of history at the time that, you know, I'd love to add.
Do you think the Dallas Zoo images are going to form an ongoing little project for you with Pinhole Camera?
Yeah, I'm sure my other photo buddies are kind of mocking me for spending so much time at the zoo. But, you know, one of the great parts about the zoo is it gives you time to practice photography, because the animals just don't care that you're taking their picture.
No. And people are standing around for a time to make good ghosts, aren't they, you know, or blurry ghosts, whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got that one where the guy's just leaning up against the pole, and it's like he didn't even notice I was taking his picture. He didn't even ask a question. He didn't even look away from his phone. I love cell phones.
Yeah. That's funny, because when I went to last summer, I went to Niagara Falls. Well, we went up to Erie, but we went to Niagara Falls, and there were people standing there, and all of the overlooks, you know, have, you know, chest high rails or whatever, and all the people were looking at Niagara Falls through their phones, you know, and like taking pictures of it and then turning around and editing. You could tell they're like editing out their pictures of Niagara Falls, and they didn't even look at it with their own eyes. You know what I mean? It's like,
oh yeah.
They just used their, I took a pinhole picture. Actually, every pinhole picture I took there, all the people are looking at the falls through their phones. It was insane.
I know. It's absolutely wonderful. I do appreciate it though, when I have got a pinhole camera out, and that carousel picture of the zoo towards the top of the page, the one on the outside, you know, some guy actually stood around and talked to me during the entire exposure, because he wanted to know what I was shooting, how I was shooting, all that kind of good stuff. I don't mind telling people. It's, you know, it is what it is. And if somebody else is, you know, sparked some interest in it, I'm going to let them know what it is. But it's like nobody else at the zoo noticed me that day. I don't go with anybody else. I'm just by myself. I've got... So I don't have any kids to show the animals to or anything like that, and
keep track.
I can weave in and out of the crowds real easily. I don't have a stroller or anything like that.
Right.
So the image on your Flickr site of the Dallas Zoo carousel at nighttime. It might not be at nighttime. It's certainly illuminated anyway, and there's the ghosts of people around it. I'm not sure. No, it's not nighttime, is it?
No, it's during the day. It's inside. It's under a big, like, gazebo type thing.
To me, that's calling out for, much as I love black and white, but isn't that just crying out for a bit of color?
It is. And when I look at my Flickr site, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of black and white in here. I need to do more color.
Me too. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. You have some monkey pictures and gorilla pictures. But they're clearly not with your Holger. I love that one of the underwater hippopotamus where his face has been distorted by the water. That's great. I love that.
Thank you.
But it's digital stuff, so we'll skip over it. And there's a picture of... No, it's a great picture. There's a picture of Mr. Snaps. So you and Mr. Snaps, Mark, you guys started this Dallas Photo. You want to tell us a little bit about how that all got started and what it's turned into and how folks can hook up with you?
Absolutely. I was feeling awfully social on social media about, six or eight years ago. And I'm a little bit, I actually enjoy Twitter a lot, but I don't follow everybody back on my Mr. Holga account. I essentially will only follow 100 people, and I like to curate that list. I try to weed out the people who are just going to complain and be negative, and I like just to follow the people who are actually going to talk photography and show some pictures.
You're following 99. I never noticed that. You're only following 99 people. Wow.
So I limit it to 100, but I, you know, right now I'm at 99. So if you were to look at my list of followers, you'll find a Warboy Snapper is towards the bottom of the list. So somebody's been following me for a very long time.
Is that me?
And I haven't unfollowed you. So there you go. And I have unfollowed some photographers before, because like I said, they start straying after a while. They start getting political. And it's like, no, that's not what I'm here for.
Is that on Flickr?
That's Twitter. Yeah, you're not on Twitter. Don't worry. Twitter.
But Corey, I was there on Twitter, space. There is space for you. He's on 99. Okay.
I could save you a spot.
Nope. I'm out.
But so I was feeling particularly social, and I met up with a couple of guys in the local area. Just, you know, I had lunch with them and say, hey, you know, we're nearby. We're photography guys. We, you know, and we enjoy this stuff. And we went at lunch. Mark and I went and had lunch, and probably about August or some August-ish time or something like that, maybe July. I'm only saying that because he brought up the idea that Worldwide Photography Day was in September that year, and hey, we should start a group. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. And so we created Dallas Photo Walk.
Cool.
You know,
maybe I'll come out and do a photo walk with you guys.
Well,
I'll just ride out one day.
We try not to do too many walks, but we like to do them, I don't know, probably about 6 walks a year. So, and we try to make them a little bit different, and we try not to do the same thing every time. The last walk was a photo walk, excuse me, a pinhole walk. They're all photo walks.
Cool.
There's a guy we know who owns Focus Photo Texas in McKinney, and he's actually got a dark room in downtown McKinney. And so we set up to allow people to actually use my pinhole cameras that I made with the Harman 4x5 paper. And they actually shot and developed within the 2-hour period. Yeah.
That's what Mark was telling me. That's pretty cool.
Do you find...
What a great process to be able to do it like that.
Yeah, that's where the direct positive paper really comes into its own, isn't it? Are you rating that?
Sure.
Because of that direct positive paper, I think, like enlarging paper, but certainly direct positive is going to vary on how you expose it depending on how much daylight there is. I think if you're shooting that in the middle of the bright sun, probably the ISO rating is going to be a lot faster. I say a lot faster, you know, it's still slow.
A lot faster.
But
5 instead of 2.
Well, it could be 9 or instead of 2. How are you rating it in your Dallas-y
I think I'm rating about either a 3 or a 6. I'm not really sure which one to use sometimes, but I'm getting some decent results. So,
And you're not messing with the pre-flashing or anything.
I have not gotten into pre-flashing. I like the idea of it. I haven't gone through the testing of that because one of my goals, and you know, you've seen that I've already made a 8x10, so that's going to take a whole sheet there, which is nice.
Yeah.
But my goal is obviously to build bigger pinhole. So I don't know if I'm going to be shooting on actual enlarger paper. I'd like to go up to at least 16x20.
That's what I made a camera that was 16x20 out of plywood.
Well, that's one of the benefits of the foam board is that it is sure as light.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, I mean, how light is it going to be? Is it not going to have enough weight to, if you're out on a windy day, I don't know. I guess you can just set it on the ground. You know, that's what I do with mine. I was like, what am I going to? I was looking at it, and I was like, oh, I need to put a tripod stock on this thing, and I picked it up, and I was like, oh, my God, it's like half a sheet of plywood, you know?
Yeah, it's super
like,
heavy.
I think I'll just set it on the ground. Yeah, I'm just going to put it on the ground. What am I going to do with a tripod, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I was thinking of one more along the lines of something that would be like the size of a suitcase, but maybe the front folded down and maybe use some bellows to extend out the pinhole a little bit.
Wow.
I think of those things, but I haven't done it yet.
Yeah,
I think pinhole in a suitcase would be really good for just casual, candid pictures, because people just wouldn't know you'd plonk that suitcase down, and hey, it's a suitcase. You know, they might think it's a bomb, but not a camera.
Andrew has a need to fulfill his voyeuristic side sometimes.
Yeah. But I saw Justin Quinnell, who was on our show last year sometime, over World Pinhole Day in Bristol when he did all his workshops and things. He did a group shot with a huge piece of photographic paper inside a wheelie bin, you know, a dustbin.
Trash can?
No, a wheelie bin. And if you look for him on, I think he's on Instagram now, so you'll be able to see what he's up to, Corey. I'm sure he's posted results of that, and it's brilliant. I think everyone sat still for about 12 or 15 minutes. I'm sure it was about.
Oh yeah,
long.
He recently posted that, right?
He did. Yeah, yeah.
That was a wonderful picture. Yes,
it was. It was great. And but you guys won't be able to replicate it because you need to have a wheelie bin. Okay. Do you have trash cans on wheels?
Yes, we do.
Do you?
They look exactly like yours almost.
Do you?
The guys come around the big trash.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, America invented the trash can on wheels.
Oh.
Of course you did. Why wouldn't you? Why would you not have invented trash can on wheels?
We also invented Earl Grey tea. Thank you. You're welcome.
which I'm happen to be drinking right now.
There you go.
Oh, I've just finished
An hour with Earl Grey.
It's my podcasting tea. I've just finished it. No, I finished it a while ago. It's gone cold now.
Oh, but you know, that's the lovely thing about Earl Grey tea. I like it when it's cold too.
I like all tea. I don't like any tea hot. I like it all cold. Have you ever had Southern style iced tea, Andrew?
This is tea with Andrew and Corey.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I don't think so. Mind you, I can understand it because, boy, it's hot. I mean, I was in the Carolinas and Georgia State. Is that right? Yeah. Anyway, I was in Athens in September.
Athens, Georgia. We have an Athens, Texas too. Georgia.
A couple of years ago, and it was hot. We took the car out to look at antebellum houses, you know, the ones that they're not burnt down in the Civil War. Yeah. And we went to some hokey town, and I got out of the car and I thought, boy, it's hot. I nearly swore then. Boy, it's hot. but I've got to take some pictures. And we went into this. The lady whose Airbnb we were staying at, she said, you've got to go to this town. I've honestly forgotten what it was now. And you go to this little mum and pop store, and they sell all sorts of weird foodstuffs. And you ask for Elaine, I don't know. So we go into this place, and I said, oh, is Elaine in? He said, oh, no, she's out for the afternoon. But Fred is in the back. He wasn't called Fred. So we go into the back. And the back of this shop, and bear in mind, it's really, really hot. And I'm in shorts and T-shirt, and I'm dripping with sweat because I'm a, you know, pasty Brit. And there was this good old boy in the back there in thick denim dungarees and a big shirt on, you know. And he was the nicest guy. But how he wasn't melting, I have no idea. It was boiling and really humid. And they had this fan moving the hot air around, and that's all it was. But you know, so we bumped into this guy, we were talking to him, and it turns out he had relatives just down the road from where I live, and it's just the most bizarre thing. And he'd been to this is the most weird thing, he'd been to the Spalding Tulip Festival, which is a festival that's held in a small Lincolnshire town near Boston once a year. And there's this guy in his dungarees, in his thick shirt, in the middle of, you know, some southern hothouse, and he knew exactly where I lived.
Better watch out if you know.
Wow.
and that picture.
If you came to where,
sorry, mate, go on.
No, I was going to say, if you came to where I'm at, Andrew, you probably would spontaneously combust as soon as you got off the plane.
Yeah, I can't. It's so hot. I can't see myself returning to Georgia anytime soon. We were there really because of my daughter. So that wet plate picture of you, Michael, is lovely and creepy at the same time. Wet plate does something with eyes and skin tones, doesn't it? And any sort of facial,
the red, isn't it?
The red darkens, doesn't it? So that's
the red and the blues. The blues are light and the reds are dark.
That's why blue-eyed folks can appear really, you know, really it's very striking if you photograph a blue-eyed person. The eyes go a bit weird, don't they?
Absolutely. So I've got more than enough red in my skin as far as, you know, being a Texas and tan. But you're right. The blue, my lovely blue eyes just really sparkle in wet plate.
It's a great picture.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, you when you're taking that picture, you're having to sit still. And this was taken in studio. So we had some studio lights on. But I was having to sit still for at least 30 seconds or more. And so wow. That's it, you know. Obviously, there's no smiling because you can't hold it. you got to try and blink as little as possible. Yeah. And so, yeah, it is what it is. That's why people look the way they look. It's not that they're angry or mad. It's like, that was the process.
Yeah.
You can't smile. Yeah, I guess you can't unless you can hold the smile.
Well, you're not really going to hold it consistently for a minute. So it's, you might as well not. So just a blank look and sit there.
And I've just liked it. So now there are two people who have faved it, which I think is just bizarre. You know, what's Flickr's just the weirdest thing, isn't it?
What's the Flickr?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get a whole lot less likes on Flickr, but I do enjoy Flickr because I can, I like much the way that you say is, you know, I can see the pictures, how they were really meant to be seen, whether they're landscapes or whether they should be portraits, squares. I mean, it's a much different experience.
So you
have three now, three likes on that picture now.
So you can your latest acquisition of all these weird multicolored Holgers gets 190 hearts on Instagram, and you post so your Jeep bonnet picture, yeah, that's done pretty well, 78. But you pick anyone who posts pictures of gear tends to those they get lots of faves, don't they, and likes, whatever they call it in Instagram.
Well, right. If you're looking on my Instagram, you'll see my dog with a camera, Sherlock. He gets 109. You've got you've got Dearly Departed Peter Mayhew only gets 53. One of my And then on the other side is my Colorful Holgas gets 190, and it's like, really? It's a camera and a dog, or just a bunch of cameras that wins?
So you knew Peter? Chewbacca? You knew him? Did you?
Chewbacca?
I met him several times. My brother actually knew him more because he's part of the 501st, which is a bunch of guys who dress up as stormtroopers. So I've gotten to meet him several times. I've got a great story of Peter Mayhew. When I started taking photography, when I got my Rolleicord, essentially I was trying to master it. And so he was at a local convention. He's just really approachable, sitting at a table. And here I come. I've got my Rolleicord, and I've got a tripod, and I've got a meter, and I've measured him. And, you know, he's a big, big guy. I mean,
I was going to say he's tall.
But he's sitting down, but he's still got a presence about it. Even sitting down, he's still. And he, like, leans in, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And, of course, he's putting his kind of fist together under his chin, leaning forward. And it's at that time I snapped the picture thinking, I'm sorry. And then I explained what I was doing and all that kind of good stuff. So he has this really mean look on his face. Well, he came back to town the prior year, and I showed him the picture. I said, is there any way I can get a retake of this? And he just thought it was absolutely funny. And that's what, you know, he gives me this great big beaming smile. But, you know, he's the guy that essentially tells me, it's like, you really should ask people to take their picture. I like street photography, but I don't like street photography that just is like sticking a camera in somebody's face and getting some weird expression. I like to, you know, talk to them a minute, get to know them. You know, people are better when you set them at a little bit at ease, and you get an interesting shot that way as well.
And you get to send them a print. Well, that's what I do anyway.
So, yeah, exactly. So I appreciate Peter's lesson there, and I love the smiling photo that I got out of it.
Mm.
Andrew?
Mm, what?
Say Chewbacca.
Chewbacca.
Say taco.
Taco. I'm not a performing monkey, you know.
Hey, if you guys keep it up, I'm gonna have to take out my inner Texan and start saying y'alls and partners.
Y'alls.
I might have to say the word in a minute. Evacuate.
Evacuate. Well, then we can. We can get done before you have to evacuate.
I'm on a bit of a time pressure today because Corey, you took so long getting Mr. Holger on the sorted out on the technology. I have got to go away and make a lasagna from scratch for my
lasagna.
Mrs. Warboy Snapper, who's on a train somewhere coming back from London. So she'll be ex- if ready. I don't have the meal waiting for her on the table, I get beaten. So
yep. Well, Mrs. Holga is nurse. She works a 12-hour shift, and so when she does that, I make sure there's a meal waiting for her as well.
Absolutely. So that's should. Yeah.
I do the same thing for my wife.
It's not a competition.
I didn't say it was.
Ooh, I like that. I love a picture of a cow. Cows taken, close-up cows with big horns taken with a Holga are awesome. I've got one somewhere on my Flickr group. Longhorn, Texas Longhorn. I don't think that's with a Holga, but it's a great picture.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Michael, why don't you take a second and let everybody know where they can find you at. Your photo walk, you know, any information you want
to share? Sure, absolutely. We'd love to have, we take all sorts of shooters on our Dallas Photo Walk. You can find us at DallasPhotoWalk.com.
Even serial killers like you.
Absolutely. So Dallas Photo Walk, we're on Instagram, Facebook, Flickr. There's a Twitter account as well. So, you know, you can sign up for any walk there because we do them periodically. We've got our next walk essentially is going to be a late night photo walk in the Dallas Arts District. Cool. We do that one in the evening because obviously it's going to be boiling hot in Dallas and it gets a little cooler, but it's still pretty hot. But, you know, it doesn't matter what you shoot, whether it's instant film, digital, pinhole, you know, we take everybody. But as far as me, if you want to find me, just look for Mr. Holga on Instagram or Twitter, Facebook. I'm there somewhere. You'll find me eventually.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And if you're lucky and you're really nice to him, he's got one spot left on his Twitter.
You know, the I always find this hilarious is actually when somebody recognizes me as Mr. Holga out and about shooting. And I think this happened like three or four times. And it's like, how do you even know me? And they said they've been following me on social media. And it's like, that's wow. Kind of, it's always bizarre when it happens like that.
I keep waiting for that to happen to me one day. I'm just going to be in line at the grocery station. And Liz's going to be like, aren't you the Liz's podcast? Oh, that's me. Yeah, sure.
You mean it doesn't happen to you?
No, it doesn't happen.
Well, Mr. Snaps and I were walking. We had a canceled photo walk of all things. And our first rule of photo walks is that him and I show up, because when the two of us show up, we consider it a successful walk. Because really, mm-hmm. Dallas right. Photo Walk is just the two of us getting together and shooting. Anybody else who joins us, that's a bonus. But our right. walk, unfortunately, got canceled due to bad weather. We couldn't tell a bunch of people to come out when it was going to be really storming or raining. But we decided to go do shooting ourselves. We went to downtown Denton, which is way north of Dallas. And as we're walking around, we're both shooting Holgas. And we happened upon a couple of gentlemen coming out of one of the little side shops. It's got no sign on it. It was very undescript. And because, hey, you guys are shooting Holgas, you're shooting film, all that kind of great stuff. And Mark says he recognized the guy immediately, but I didn't. But it sounded very creepy how they were trying to invite us in. He goes, man, you should see the cameras he's got in here. He's got one of those Polaroids. It's what, 20 by 22 or whatever it is. And all
oh,
I can
yeah,
is,
yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, great. I got to see this. We're thinking, the two of us think is we may never see our wives again because we're being invited in by a stranger. Well, the stranger happened to be Jason Lee.
Wow.
And, you know, awesome. My name is Earl Actor. And
yeah,
of
yeah.
course, I had never seen the show, but it's like, all right, but I want to go see the cameras. And you go in there and you see, obviously, you see the Polaroid and a bunch of 8x10s and 4x5s. And it's like, it was pretty cool.
But I knew Jason from, I don't know him, but growing up and being big time into skateboarding, I knew him from there. And then he became an actor, you know.
So I hear a lot of skateboarding.
That's pretty cool.
There's a couple of,
yeah.
I saw some documentary about him recently. Might have been, was it maybe a Cinestill picture?
Probably Ilford Film.
Ilford, that was it. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. They, yes. Yes.
They were,
I think it's on YouTube. I've seen it as well.
Hmm.
What were you using when you shot that portrait of him? I know you're using the Holga, but were you using T-Max? Did you shoot it?
Oh, I'd have to go look at it. I mean, if it doesn't say in the description, then I more than likely I was shooting a lot of T-Max at that time. But then, right. of course, you know, that was probably around the time that Kodak was getting fewer and far between, and so I was probably switching to Ilford.
Sure. Mm. That's pretty cool. Yeah,
Corey, where can we find you?
Right now,
in case any friends want to try and find you.
Can we find you on Twitter? Can we find you on Twitter?
I am graciously giving up the 100th spot on Twitter to some other
to the highest bidder.
Twitter.
No, wait a minute. You have to earn that spot too, because I don't follow just anybody.
Earn that spot.
And now, you know, Peter Mayhew did follow me, and I followed him back. So
wow,
there you go. Sweet.
So actually, I've got two spots open.
Oh, two spots. I'm not coming back to Twitter. I'm staying away. So I'm graciously giving away one of my spots to the two spots left on Mr. Holga's Twitter account. right now, I can only be found on Instagram at Pinhole Cannon. I'm on Flickr, but I don't go to Flickr too much. I need to. But I don't. I say that every show. I need to go back to Flickr.
Tried to get you. We looked. Was it last show or the show before? I forget now. Maybe there's one with just you and I. Or was it last week? I have no idea. We looked back at some Flickr images, didn't we?
Yeah.
I have
pictures. I have an account in Flickr. So if you want to see some pictures, go have a look.
I got bad news, guys. Terribly, terribly bad news. I am out of tea.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to go.
I have to evacuate.
Yeah. All right. So, Michael, thanks so much for coming and spending a...
You might have to come back next week, Michael, unless Corey's found somebody, because I'm not here next week, so...
Well, we can talk about other things.
He's got to find a new buddy.
We'll have lots of things to talk about without Andrew being
here. I'm only one time zone over.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's nice. Normally we're talking to people who are in way far away. I think the last two shows I've been doing it at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
Well, other than me using the wrong device, I think we've done well.
Yeah, right, Andrew?
Yeah, sorry, everything fell over, but I'm still here.
Yeah. We'll have to go on that note because Andrew's...
I'll be back, but in a couple of weeks. But I'll leave you in the hands of Corey and... whoever he manages to drag in. You should try. You should try getting Tina back. Really, you know, because we left her in the lurch last time. Anyway, I'll leave you. Yep. I'll leave you to work that out.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody, thanks for hanging out, and we hope you have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Happened to me about 10 minutes ago, happens again. I might just have to leave the recording and leave you to it, okay, while I run upstairs quickly.
That's fine.
Should I use a safe word? Is that what you're saying?
What, splatter, Andrew, is that a good one for you? Splatter?
Evacuate.
Evacuate.
No,
I'm not sure if it was the cheap bitter I was drinking last night or the Chinese food or what it was.
Probably the Chinese food. Yeah. What we'll do...